right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 329. I am Lisa Sheps, and joined this fine day by my noble and loyal co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
It is Wednesday, September 30th, 2015. On the program today, we have the Vortex and their show, The Wonder Show, and the famous Patrick Terry will be joining us. Also later on the show, we'll be talking to the cast members from Broadway Across America's production of The Little Mermaid. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, and points east. There's not a whole bunch east. Actually, there's a lot east of Philadelphia. Never mind. Forget
there's
I ever
good
said
amount.
That. There's a lot. Goes all the way because up to Boston, all the way up north to, that's basically east.
Yes.
Even though you're on I-95 North, you're really going east.
Yes.
So, thanks again to another wonderful remix show, and a shout out to Tracy and Tom and Andrew. What a great crew they had here.
He was popping in here today.
Yeah, and what a great get, the CEO of Freescale.
That Tracy Schultz.
Here's how old I am.
How old?
I remember when they were Motorola. When they were Motorola. And they used to have to wind up their
I remember
electronics.
That too, though.
But wonderful, wonderful show. Really, really fun. I want to check in with Miss Nicole Shiro. How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
It's not what you said when you came into the studio today.
No, I'm a hot mess today.
There you go. That's what I wanted to hear.
I've lost my keys. My printer wouldn't print. It's just, you know, one of those conundrum-like
That's
days.
The story of my life. I love that word, conundrum.
I love the word conundrum, too.
Well, we should use it more often.
We should.
You know,
I feel like we do in our everyday banter, but not on air.
It is a problem, like when we come in for the show, we don't know what to say. It's just a real conundrum.
It is a real conundrum. How many times can we get it in today?
I don't know. That's a conundrum as well.
I know. Full of conundrums.
You know what else is a conundrum?
What?
Why people don't get us on our podcast.
Yeah, you know, that's the biggest conundrum of them all.
Okay, I think we're done with that word. I want to remind everybody we have our news. It's not really a new segment anymore. Our segment, Backstage at Offstage, what happens?
How about our poppin' segment? We can pop just like Tracy Schultz. We're awesome.
We can pop. I'm not quite sure what that means, but along with Snap and crackle,
yes.
Very important word.
Yes.
Which is a onomatopoeia.
Yeah. Oh, Lisa, pulling out the big words today.
I went to school once. Our
podcast
segment, Backstage at Offstage, where we learn a little bit more about our guests. And I'm really excited for today's Backstage at Offstage.
I am too, because yes. I like our guest in here today.
I like our guest. Let's introduce him, shall we?
Interesting stuff. Let's just talk about him, or talk about his show or anything.
We have here in the studio with us Patrick Terry.
Hello.
Hello. And Patrick's going to be talking to us about a show at the Vortex in a little while about the Wonder Show.
Indeed.
I keep wanting to say the Wonder Years because I come from...
It's embedded in your head.
Yeah, that era. So that, by the way, the Wonder Years, mm-hmm. Now that we've taken this little tangent, Fred Savage has a new series that
I forgot to record it last night.
Oh,
and
was
I was so
night?
Upset. Yes, it's with the Rob Lowe.
You can get it.
I know.
On demand.
On demand. I know. But, you know, the thought that I could have come home and watched it made me, you know.
Yeah, you would have had to come home and watch the Neil Patrick Harris show.
I didn't. I didn't record it. I gave up after last week with you.
I did. And I think this might have been it. Anyway.
You told me you were giving
up
last
week. But
we'll
talk about Neil Patrick Harris as well because, you know, he does. He
likes
the magic.
He dabbles in the magic. He supports the magic.
So we're looking forward to Backstage at Offstage. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. What's the best way for people to get us?
The bestest way in the whole wide world is to get Lisa and Nicole delivered in your mailbox.
Wait, just how do arrived. They do that?
Ding.
How do they do that?
They would go to offstageonair.com and enter their little email in the box to the right. Hits enter and... that's it. We just start arriving. Voila.
And even if you have a big email, we don't discriminate on the size of emails.
No, we do not.
Because size does not count.
No.
Matter. Something. So we had a, speaking of size, we had a huge opening this week on New York.
Yes, yes, yes.
Spring
Love
Awakening.
Letter.
And did I see you, Patrick, singing along with our opening song?
That's quite the jingle you have there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not the jingle, the song that was, I thought I heard you singing along with it. Maybe not. It's from Spring Awakening.
How about that?
Good for you, Lisa. Congratulations. And it was called the Mirror Blue Night. And a lot of people in all the stuff I read about Spring Awakening, most everybody made mention of how soon this was to do a revival since Spring Awakening closed in 2009. So by my math, that's roughly 6 years.
Yes.
If my math is correct. You're trying to talk to me without a microphone.
I couldn't find my glasses. I'm sorry.
You're an old lady.
I was digging in my purse. I'm like, I cannot read anything I printed.
But this is the Deaf West production of Spring Awakening, which is done with both hearing and deaf actors.
Correct.
And they utilize shadowing for their production. So the Moritz's is a hearing actor, but I forgot her name, the female lead. What's her name, the character?
Oh.
Anyway, and the other, and Friskel, Driscoll, Droskel, Liskel.
Yeah, good luck trying to give you all the names right now.
we do a lot of prep.
We're hard-hitting here, folks.
Anyway, they are deaf actors.
Josh Wexler's yelling in his room right now.
I know he is. He's like,
get it together, ladies!
They utilize shadowing. So the actor doing it is deaf, and then they have another actor who is dressed in contemporary clothes right next to them who is voicing and singing the show.
Correct.
And it's very interesting. So this is all thumbs up across the line.
Did you... they also, besides doing that, did you know that they were the first theater to one of their actors is in a wheelchair?
Yes.
And so, it's our chick from the Glee Project.
I was gonna just say that. That's the Glee Project chick.
Yes.
And they have not made mention of that at all. Because not only was she on the Glee Project, she
was in the show.
She was in the show, yes.
Correct.
Did you watch Glee, Patrick? Are you a Gleek?
I am not, but I think I know Allie.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Blonde hair.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Thank
Spitfire.
You for coming
I really
up with her
enjoyed
name.
I wanted to call her Heather, and I was like, that's not right. And they had to redo the entire theater. And I can't believe that's the first time on Broadway. I'm like, really?
Strange.
What's going on?
How do you know of her?
Well, we crossed paths several times at NYU.
Okay.
I remember her from that. And I believe her sister is actually based in Austin and came to Wonder Show back in March of
Get
all things.
I love
Very
when it all comes
world.
Back together.
Yeah, no doubt.
you
is a little
do.
Bananas.
I don't see her name here.
Allie
Stroker.
There you go.
I did see two or three articles on her, but it wasn't really in mainstream
she
media.
Was she in Glee
she was
the Glee Project she was great. I really really liked her.
Me
and,
too.
And I was sorry to not see her again, and I was very thrilled to see her in the
I just
the
recognized
YouTubes.
Her in a still, and I'm like, wait a minute, is that my chick from Glee? And I had to go searching, and then I
sure
found
was.
The articles, and I'm like, that is awesome.
Very yeah. good. Anyway, so this production of Spring Awakening has gotten accolades all the way around. Very,
was
very good.
Total thumbs up for on the did on he the, like
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there was one, and I know I printed it. It's here in this massive papers. One critic for like Hollywood Reporter, I think, said too soon, which I think that's a silly thing because it's a total redo, mm-hmm. and folks that are familiar with
but
theater
it's
will
not
remember
really the same.
Will remember Deaf West production of Big River. And the director for this production, whose name is Michael Arden, he starred in Big River, the Deaf West production of Big River. Let's see, where did I see that?
It was New York Review. It's a bit too soon to bring the rock musical Spring Awakening back to Broadway, considering it just closed 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Right in the middle. But he still gave him a thumbs up.
Yeah, no, I think I'm actually looking at a different Hollywood Reporter.
Oh.
That also did that. But really wonderful, wonderful notices by and large. And where did I do with this? There was some stuff that I wanted to bring out and talk about. Well, we've talked about it here. There were some rather notable starry kind of people, like Marley Matlin.
She's on like all the marquees and without other people. And I'm like,
Cameron Mannheim.
Yes.
So the two of them do. So if people remember the show, it's all about coming of age, and the adult characters are taken on by one or two adults that take on the multiple roles. And in this case, it's two women, Marley Matlin and Cameron Mannheim. And the male roles are one Patrick Page, and Russell Harvard.
They're all rocking people.
Yeah, I don't know Russell Harvard. Do you?
No.
No. Okay. But I'm sure he's rocking.
He's got to be with those people.
Patrick's nodding, so.
Is he? Do you know who he is? No, you're just agreeing.
I was just nodding at the enthusiasm that he rocks.
You know what? I'll Google him right now.
No, it's okay. Speaking of Glee, to bring it back around.
Bring it back around.
Who starred in the original Spring Awakening?
Lea Michele.
But
Glee.
But also Homeboy that was...
I don't know who Homeboy is.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, we're not going to worry about
Jonathan
it.
Groff?
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes.
He was in Glee too.
I saw that 2005 production.
Thank you. I could see his face and I couldn't say his name. And I'm like, I saw it too. Yeah. Thank you. It was slipping my...
So the scenic designer is Dane Laffrey. And I just have to say that in the review, who did it? I think it's Ben Brantley. Said it's the spiffy costumes and set. Who he did both the costumes and the set.
I do like the word spiffy.
So Charles Isherwood wrote this. I think Ben Brantley's is still in London.
But you know what? I'm shocked that Isherwood used spiffy. That just doesn't seem word in his repertoire.
It's not very Isherwood-y.
No.
There was another review that I just thought was very, very interesting. I have never heard of it. Did you see this thing, Elements of Oz?
Yes.
Okay, why do you say it that way?
Because I think it's cool.
It is very, very cool.
It's like fascinating, and you know my Oz obsession. And
well, me too. It's done in Montclair, New Jersey.
Yeah, Montclair.
I said Montclair.
Yeah.
What do you think I said?
It sounded more like Mount, but that's
no, Montclair. I know Montclair. Been there many, many friends who live in Montclair.
That's where Annie was filmed on the campus there.
And it was a...
The good
production company called Builders Association, which I didn't know.
Which I was like, threw me off when I first started reading about it. I was like, what is this?
So this is it's a sort of a telling of the behind the scenes Oz, and it utilizes, they encourage you to bring your cell phones and your
tablets.
Electronics. So there was.
Are you going to read that one sentence that's rocking?
I don't know which one sentence you're talking about.
About Patti LuPone?
Well, I'm going to go there because there's a word in there that we need to discuss. So, PT, for your information, I comment a lot on the use of erudite language by our critics where you need a dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have one here. So they're talking about bringing your technology to the show. And Charles Isherwood says, good idea, I thought, just don't bring Patti LuPone.
That made me giggle.
That estimable performer, I can't say that word, performer, as you may know, recently made news when she snatched a cell from a patron's hand at a performance in high dudgeon over that audience member's constant texting. What does dudgeon mean? Hmm. And let me spell it for you because it doesn't sound like it's spelled. D-U-D-G-E-O-N. It looks sort of like dungeon, but it's not. That's dudgeon. Funny. Anybody?
Her highfalutin, nasty, angry?
Close. In a fit. Oh, did you want to take a gander?
No, I was going to go with like the context of it as well, kind of.
A fit or state of indignation.
I was going to say the indignation. I was just going to say that.
Yes, seriously. That was my trick.
Yeah, I'm very impressive.
It's cool. They're saying like at certain, you put your phone into airplane mode, apparently.
At the beginning. Then
at
you
the
take
beginning.
It out.
And then you take it out. And then there's times it will tell you to like look into certain spots and see things that you didn't. It's so fascinating. Have you ever seen the movie done on a big screen in like a movie theater? Mm-hmm. Did you ever notice that like when she cries to go home, you can actually see the teardrops on her gingham dress and you can notice that her hair is red just seeing it on the big screen. So imagine having something prompting you along. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, and at one point they have everybody, oh God, I gotta figure out what they said. It was a, I don't know, it was interesting. But Glenda's wand is a selfie stick. And that portrait, that selfie stick, she's shooting herself and it's going over the screens around there.
There's three actors that are part of this. Three or four, right?
I think. And okay. They all play Dorothy at some time.
Right. Interesting.
I remember what it was. They sing Over the Rainbow, and it's this man who does it. Oh, please tell me I highlighted it.
I want to say it was near the end. I remember.
Yeah,
what
it's Donovan. His name is Donovan. I don't know his first name. I'll find it later. But he belts out the movie's signature song, Over the Rainbow, which does a sweet feminine croon that evolves into a very masculine boon. Oh, here it is. So this is one of the things they did. It's a charming use of cell phones, he says. When the song strikes up, myriad self-made videos posted to YouTube of all sundry singing that classic tune suddenly appear on the phones and tablets around the space. So you're seeing all these different YouTube things of people singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow along with him singing it. Seems awesome.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, the movie kind of innovated technology with just Technicolor and everything.
I think that's exactly
the live version incorporating technology is kind of cool idea.
Here's an interesting thing about Wizard of Oz fans, if you're interested. I went to, and I was very thrilled to go to a sing-along Wizard of Oz show.
Yes.
After they get to Oz, no more songs.
Yeah, you didn't know, you never realized
that?
Well,
I didn't realize until you're singing. So after King of the Forest, the Lion Song is the last song
you're
in the
like,
show. Other than,
Yes.
Oh, no, they don't do All
No,
Rocks
they don't
the
do
river.
Again,
it's
do
done.
They?
That's
because
it.
It's
the
done.
Only thing is the guard song, which I used to say, Oreo. Chips Ahoy.
Amazing.
That's the way I thought it was.
And did you
but
go eat them
this looks
then?
Interesting, and it is a limited run, so unfortunately, we're not going to be able to see it.
It seems like something easy to produce in other markets.
I don't think it sounds easy to produce at all.
Well, if you've already had the film and the tech, I mean, you're using technology.
If you're,
it's not
to take
like,
that piece and move it elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yes, you could do that. So, I thought you were talking about using that technology as to start from scratch.
No, very difficult. No, no.
So the MacArthur Junior Grants, Genius Grants were given out. Did you get one, Patrick?
Not this time.
Okay,
I got two. Junior Grants better.
Yeah, I got two. The what?
I trumped you.
How many did you get?
Seven.
I know. Bravo.
So our boy Lin-Manuel Miranda got it. And Nicole Eisman, who's an artist, Natasha Coates, who I know the name. He wrote Between the World and Me, and he lives in Paris.
All the rage right now. He just was going to write the new Black Panther comics as well. If you want to check that out.
Okay, yeah. That's I'm like, why do I know the name right now?
So 24 people won this, and each person
less,
gets the grant.
I got seven. You got two.
It's true. $625,000 over 5 years. Unrestricted. Do anything you want.
Isn't that awesome?
And it's interesting because my first impulse was, well, I love Lin-Manuel Miranda, but he and Natasha Coates, they don't need help right now. They're there. So they talk about this in this article, which I think is interesting. They said the process of awarding the grant is a slow one. So some people's rise to fame are meteoric. And get there before. So their intention is to help people that need that. This is so you don't have to worry about income for 5 years. You can concentrate on your art. Mm-hmm. And indeed, they did that. I heard a.
I think this all started before Hamilton was the hit
He did really well within The Heights as well.
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
he did. Not like
but
Hamilton.
He's giving, according to this article, he plans on giving a lot to charities. Specifically,
I could see him using it to foster other creativity other folks to pay it forward. He seems like that kind of a guy.
So it's interesting. They tell people that you won the grant by telephone.
And, I kind of like that old school.
And you
way.
Are told when you get the call that you are only allowed to tell one other person until it's announced. Hmm. And
at least they let you tell one.
Yeah, but Eisman, what's her first name?
Who would you tell?
You.
Lisa.
Nicole Eisman, the artist, said she split her one person into 10. So I think that's great. I think that they do deserve it to a great extent. There was a woman that I heard interviewed on NPR yesterday who's a tap dancer and they talked about her work, and she's done very, very interesting things around tap. And she's the talked about a time when she had to, they, you couldn't use the metal taps on some really nice floor. And so she made wooden taps herself. And they do tap dancing in their sock feet.
That's cool.
And it's really interesting. And then they also talk about, they talk about the struggle with, you know, working on the backs of the oppressed African-American culture, which was sort of forced to do the minstrel showy kinds of things and things like that. And sort of talking about the racism part of tap dancing and how she brings that into her work as well.
That's interesting.
And I don't know her. She sounded, and I'm using air quotes, white, and I'm assuming that she's not African American herself. But I only do that on.
What did you hear that on?
It was one of the shows.
NPR.
It was NPR, but I don't remember which show.
PT's all sorts of full of knowledge over here. I'm kind of digging PT in the corner here.
You know, I'm just going to say this between the three of us.
Sure.
You're my favorite guest.
Hey, thanks.
Yes.
Ever.
you just nobody, giggle at yourself.
I do.
I love when you giggle at yourself.
I laugh at myself. So the Sound of Music starts, it goes on the road today. And we're getting it here.
Yes.
So I found it interesting. Playbill, this was an old article back in early September, talked about how this Sound of Music tour is like none other before. They've taken a lot of changes. And so I went and read the article because I want
to
see.
You wanted to know what they were.
The new spin on Sound of Music?
Is this because we got in a deep, in-depth conversation of the Sound of Music
last night? Exactly why I did this. No, but I said, well, what's the deep spin? But so the deep spin was they are hiring 20-year-olds to play the parts.
Scandal?
Scandal. My thinking is, you know, it's a tour. So you, these are the people that audition, 20-year-olds. And then again, the so Maria, he likened it to, what's her name? Mary Martin and Julie Andrews, who were in their 30s when they did the role. Maria is a 20-year-old character, so they're going to make her 20 years old because the actors are 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And also the Reverend Mother, 20-year-old.
I was like, Reverend Mother's young. I was looking at the press photos. I got to tell you, the kiss between Maria and Von Trappman was mm-hmm. kind of hot and heavy. I was like, I've never seen Maria look so sultry.
Well, that's the other thing. They said the other thing that's going to make it different is Colonel Von Trapp, General Von Trapp. What's his name?
That's why I said Von Trappman.
The Von Trapp dude.
I couldn't remember what
gonna,
his
They're
going
to play more on his sensual nature.
I don't have
a problem
with
that.
It's
going to be a little bit more sexual. But bottom line is, it doesn't sound that big of a departure.
No, it doesn't.
But I'm looking forward to it. This is the tour that is coming here.
I'll say, now that you told me the children are in their 20s, I would have never known by looking. I mean, the peanut's obviously a peanut. Greta?
By peanut, she means child.
Yeah, the Greta? Greta?
What? Greta.
Greta, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's definitely young. She's young in the show, but... No, it actually looked really different to me.
All right, we're out of time. So that opens in Los Angeles tonight. Gentleman's Guide goes on tour and opens in Chicago tonight. I just need to mention this. I was zipping through things. Pitch Perfect 3.
I saw it and I was like, is Lisa Nguyen?
Pitch Perfect 3 is
feel?
On the boards for 2017. And there is a YouTube of my girl, Anna Kendrick, uh-huh. and James Corden, my boy, who were paired together in Into the Woods. Mm-hmm. Or not paired together.
Are they
the
doing
same.
Singing in His Car?
They did a riff-off.
Oh, okay.
They did a riff-off, which wasn't really a riff-off. It was a rehearsed hoji.
I like when he sings in the car.
Also, very quickly before we get to the trivia question, mm-hmm. Hamilton was released on the 27th.
Yeah.
So that's out there. And that music is phenomenal. I listened to it again.
It makes you happy.
Yeah.
It does. I love it.
I know.
So let's do the trivia question. This is the trivia question that Nicole is going to pose to us.
Can I quickly just say something?
Very quickly.
My grandmother was kind of adorable mailing me the entire section of the paper with her note. Looks like a good season from the New York Times.
Yeah,
you
got to
love Mabel on that one.
Mabel, keep your elbows off the table.
I have a short question today, too.
Go, good. We need short.
Okay. We've just been talking about presidents, so I went with a presidential-themed question. Franklin D. Roosevelt has been in a number of musicals. He promised us a New Deal for Christmas in Annie, was satirized in I'd Rather Be Right, was a puppet in Flahouli, was voiced by Art Carney in Flora the Red Menace, and was nearly killed offstage in Assassins. Which musical included a touching eulogy of the wartime president?
And I can't. She needs her glasses for this, so yeah, everybody just stand by while she gets them on.
Because the italics are killing me. A, Inside USA. B, Miss Liberty. C, Call Me Mister. D, Yip Yip Yap Hank. Or E, Tars and Spars.
Wonderful. This is going to be a challenging question, and we will get that answer right at the beginning of Backstage at Offstage. In the meantime, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk to Patrick Terry about The Wonder Show, and we are looking so forward to talking about that. So this is from Hamilton. Probably the last time we'll hear it for a little while on the show, because I've been playing it a lot.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
We
eight,
are
nine.
Back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps on KOOP. And we are talking to Patrick Terry, whose show, The Wonder Show, is happening this weekend. Before we talk to you, PT, mm-hmm. I have a job for you.
Sure.
I need you to choose a number between 2 and 47.
Let's go with 33.
Why 33? Anything?
Important job in the world.
Because that's how old I am. Oh. Not really.
Yeah, why 33? Any reason?
I think just came to my randomly.
Okay, let's see what it is. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Holland Taylor, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM.
And she's coming back to town.
She's coming back to town to do Anne, and I could listen to Holland Taylor every day.
We love Holland Taylor. It was a great interview as well.
Hopefully we'll have another great one.
That was BN, I believe. That was before you.
I think it might have been.
Yeah. So let's get to why we're here. Mm-hmm. You're doing The Wonder Show. You're reprising it. You did it last March at the Vortex, right?
That's right.
What the heck is this show? What is it?
Wonder Show is a vaudeville experience with a big emphasis on magic. Mm-hmm. So we feature performers in the variety arts.
Do you have any magicians in the show?
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
And why do you ask that, Lisa?
Because I believe Patrick is a magician.
That's true. I'm producing this show and hosting this show and doing a little bit of magic, but mostly just featuring great performers that I have a ton of respect for across the world and also based here in Austin.
Yeah, I saw. So you have some of the people. I know that Ruby Jewell mm-hmm. and the Gigawatts are part of your show, and they've been on this show several times.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Lisa's friends with them.
Awesome.
Ruby Jewell and I performed together in the House of Yes.
Amazing.
Back in the day.
Amazing.
I was about to say, what show did you? Was it the House of Yes?
It was the House of Yes. Yep.
Well, I'm excited to meet her and Coco Electric. And
Coco Electric also been on the show.
Awesome. Yeah.
So who else is doing the show?
Bethany Summersizzle is going to do an aerial piece. And then the magicians, well, the headlining performer is this guy named John Stetson, who is a mentalist and a major inspiration for me, probably one of the biggest influences I've ever had in magic.
By mentalist, are you talking about like the Amazing Kreskin kind of mentalist?
Correct, yes. Yeah, similar mind-to-mind contact, as he would call it. More like mind reading, things like that. Yeah.
I'm thinking of a color.
I was about to say, Lisa's working it right now.
Well, that's
Lisa
the thing,
would be a good one for that.
Sure.
Well, so that's cool. So why bring it back? You just did it in March. We just talked about Spring Awakening, mm-hmm. and like after 6 years, they brought it back. Why come back?
Well, Wonder Show is constantly in different cities and cropping up, but one of the reasons I brought it back here is because I love the Vortex.
Yeah.
And I love Bonnie and Melissa, and like they've been really great because when I first got to Austin last year, they allowed me to do my one-man magic show called Magic Hour at the Vortex. And that was a great experience, and again, really vibed well with them, and ultimately that led to Wonder Show. So we did it in March, had a great turnout, and again, really, really great reactions, and here we are again.
Yeah, Bonnie Cullum, the Vortex rep, and Melissa Vogt, they are great supporters of this radio station and theater in general around town.
Awesome.
So we are
they're what we call
fans.
Good peeps.
Definitely.
GPs, we call them. So you're not going to be doing a set. You're basically hosting it and doing little pieces here and there.
Correct. That's right.
Well, that's sort of sad.
Oh, I hope not. I think it'll still be a lot of fun because the featured performers are the ones you really want to see. Of course, I'm going to be kind kind of directing traffic and introducing everyone, kind of programming the night. But yeah, there'll be a little magic for me, but I really want to focus on, again, these artists that I have such respect for.
So you've done a lot of these, I don't know if it's a wonder show, but you do a I think it's monthly or regular thing at the Players Club in New York,
oh,
in Gramercy
right.
Park.
That's right.
Yeah, so... You know, I only mention it because it always comes back to me.
I would say Lisa please. Somehow is going to tie this
I
in.
I was yeah, able yeah. to have lunch with, Audrey Meadows at the Players Club.
Oh, that's
years
kind
ago.
Of cool.
Yeah. So Audrey Meadows, people will know, is Trixie from the Honeymooners.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, I did magic for her there one time.
You did?
Yeah. I've been a member of the club for a while, and it's such a great environment, you know, in terms of like the performing arts and also just kind of the history of theater. You know, it was Edwin Booth's home for
yep,
so many
it
years.
Was.
And I always loved that Actors Equity, the union, was founded in that building.
Yeah.
So it was always designed for
there's
a place
that... There's a lot of history
there's
there.
A, I was
indeed.
About to say a ton.
And yeah, you still... So. I mean, I'm assuming membership at the time, I was not a member, but you had to... it was not easy to become a member. You had to be recommended,
invitation,
et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera.
Invitation-based, and they, you know, that came to me through magic, actually.
Oh, lovely.
Which is nice. Yeah, so it's cool. I'm actually their resident magician, which is something I...
Oh, that's really,
really happy,
exciting.
Happy
now, have you... Did you do magic from a little tyke?
Yeah, yeah. My brother and I had an act when we were kids.
What's your brother's name?
His name's Jamie.
Jamie.
Yeah.
JT and PT?
Sure.
J and PT?
Exactly. But we were known as the Wizard of Ooze and the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, it comes back.
Bringing it back again.
Exactly. But yeah, we did a lot of birthday parties and, you know, nursing homes, preschools, everything in between. And I had a lot of fun. We were doing a lot of plays in like the local theater, and magic kind of came out of that experience, and it's a good outlet for us.
Well, we like to bring things home to our audience, and many times we do performances and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, can we do some magic here on the air?
Oh, sure. Why not? Let's do that.
Okay. So, what do you
well,
need?
Well,
I'm
going to use a Sharpie here. Got a Sharpie here and just a piece of paper, and maybe we'll also use your iPhone.
I actually have one.
Okay, great.
It's sitting right
but
here.
Let's just make sure for your listeners, I have not touched the iPhone before. And
no, it's
the...
on the other side of
yeah.
the counter,
yeah.
on, the
on the
other
side of the
board.
Of the
but again, this is the first time we've met, so you know, nothing could be
true that.
Prearranged. But may I actually borrow the phone for
oh,
a moment
sure,
right now?
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Very
make
good.
As many
Lisa
calls
is
as you
handing
like.
The phone across the board.
Exactly. But before we turn on the phone, I'm actually going to make a small prediction here on the piece of paper. And we'll keep this just a secret for
we won't
they
look.
Might be
a
the
moment.
Winning lottery numbers.
Hey, that'd be something.
We won't look.
Okay, that's fine.
Winning lottery numbers would
be that'd
be
good, right?
I'll put the prediction right here in front of us all here. No one will look at that. Now, Lisa, I'm going to take your phone. And do you have a password here?
Yes.
Okay, good. So focus on that password. Let's just think about your password for a moment.
You ready to give that out on air?
Exactly. What I want you to do, it's four digits, yes?
Yes.
Okay, let's think about it. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you very much. Stay in your seats, guys. No, Lisa, I don't want you to announce it, but maybe you will just unlock the phone
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, I totally
me.
Didn't even think about that. Sorry.
That's fine, yeah. So we're going to go ahead and
well, you definitely
that.
Know you haven't been in there.
There you go. Well, let's see. Okay, you got a few texts you're going to get back to and a few emails there. I'm not going to open your photos or anything, but
please do.
I see we have the calculator app there. And Nicole, you want to just open the calculator for me?
Swipe up.
Oh, or, right there, it looks
oh,
like.
Oh, it's up there. Yeah. Yeah, that's one way to do it.
Boom. I can't see. Oh, that's all right. Yeah, we're just going to open up the calculator here. There we go.
There it is.
So, Nicole, actually, if you could mind, maybe I'll step over here. Would you just type in three digits, just
any
randomly?
Three?
Yeah, any three numbers in the calculator there.
And when you talk, Nicole, you have to, like, talk
okay.
in the microphone.
Wonderful. I know. My arms weren't long enough to go
your
that way.
Your arm's too
way.
Short to box okay. with God.
You're I'm doing serious. Awesome. But you got a nice big number there. And hit multiply for me, Nicole,
okay.
if you don't mind. I'll reach over there. Thank you. And then, Lisa, maybe you'll do the same thing. If you
okay.
can reach over, just
sure.
type in three digits.
Any three digits.
Any three digits.
Should I announce them to the audience?
Negative. It'll
okay.
just be for you. And then hit multiply again.
Okay.
And then maybe pass the phone over to Nicole.
Oh, my God.
And Nicole, one last time. Maybe just put in two digits this time. And then hit equals.
Okay.
And
okay.
What do we got? What's the number?
9,302,015.
Let me see again. Turn around. 9,000,000. Okay. 300, 2015. Interesting. Okay. Pretty random again on your phone.
That's, yep. Yep.
But I did make a prediction.
Oh, is it really going
right
to be that?
Let's check it out. I'll turn over the paper here and we will notice.
Oh no, there's just
9,302,015.
There is no way.
Isn't that interesting?
Really?
Well, actually, before you take the picture,
yeah.
What's today's date?
The 30th
I think
of
you said it was 9:30.
Oh no.
2015, right on the money. Thank you very much.
Wait a second.
That's banana. bananas.
Yeah,
that is bananas.
Yeah, thank you.
That is bananas. I'm taking a picture. I just took a screenshot picture. Sure. We're going to post these on the website.
Sounds good.
Okay. I took the picture of it.
So I'm going to tell you my magic story.
Hit me.
A friend of mine growing up, he did tabletop magic.
Cool.
We were like little 12-year-old tykes.
Mm-hmm.
And he did this trick called Hiram.
Sure.
You know Hiram.
Familiar.
So for those that aren't aware of him, he would hold a silk up, and then the silk would sort of levitate from within the silk, and then it would come down, and then up from the edges of the silk, a little ball would show up, and it would sort of dance around,
mm-hmm.
and you would see it. So I always wanted to know how to do it, and he would not tell me because of the magician's code.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing tabletop magic when I was juggling and eating fire in a show called 1520 AD, and I would do tabletop magic.
Wow.
And so I got him to show me.
Just say that sentence again.
I said, now that I'm doing magic, can you please tell me how this is done?
Mm-hmm.
And he showed me, and it's so simple.
Yeah, sure.
And what it did, it took the magic away.
Of course.
The magic was gone from that.
Yeah.
And so now when I see, when anybody does that trick or one of it's similar, I know exactly how it's done. So there's mm-hmm. no magic for me.
Mm-hmm.
So now I don't want to know. I don't want to know how you did that.
No,
how did you do that?
Carefully, you know. But yeah, it's interesting. You talk about kind of robbing someone of the mystery, and that's people when they want to know about magic. There's that rule that you should never reveal the secret to the audience, and it's not about power or withholding things. Again, you don't want to rob them of that moment, that feeling, because that's really what you're sharing when you perform magic. You know, so it's not about look how smart I am. It's like no, I want you to enjoy this together. You know?
And the other thing that you're doing in the work that you do in magic is you're bringing the wonder of childhood back.
That's exactly.
I like how you said that.
Yeah. Right. Because I'm just like, wow, how did you do that? And and I know that if I were to dissect it or if you were to tell me, I would go, oh God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's like, I'm amazed
Thank
and
you.
Enthralled. And you did a trick for us earlier today, a card trick.
The card trick in the lobby was bananas.
Still don't know how you did that.
Thanks, But magic does speak to the inner child when nothing is impossible, you know? And as adults, we kind of let go of that. And it's nice to remind ourselves that mystery is a powerful thing and should be observed.
So for the Wonder Show at the Vortex this weekend, it's three shows, correct?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So Nicole and I, and by extension, our audience, just experienced some very intimate magic
mm-hmm.
that we just loved.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two tricks. Is that the kind of show that folks are going to be? Are they going to get that plus spectacle? Plus, like, because when I think of vaudeville, I think of, and I know that Ruby Jewel and mm-hmm. Coco Loco.
Mm-hmm.
Coco Loco.
It's a great name. It's fun
it's
to say.
It's not Coco Loco. It's mm-hmm. Coco
Electric.
Coco Electric.
They're mm-hmm. both fun.
I still want to call her Coco Loco.
You could
that's
be Coco
a little bit
Loco.
Bigger and more presentational. So what can folks expect to see at the Wonder Show?
Well, vaudeville literally means voice of the city, you know? So we're representing that here in Austin. So you have big cities and towns of different size.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of what people can expect, one great thing about the Vortex is that it is an intimate space. So again, you'll get to really experience the performers up close. And this is not a show with big boxes and big effects, you know? It again is really performance-based. Obviously, Ruby and Coco represent that, but certainly John as well. He's known as America's master mentalist. And one of the reasons I love mentalism in terms of a genre of magic is, again, it is performance-based. You don't have to, you know, have any elaborate props or things like that. You know, it can happen literally anywhere, you know. And again, it's about that connection, which is like all theater.
Yeah, awesome. So where can folks get more information about the show?
VortexRep.org, where the tickets are available, and there's a lot of other information about the artists and the theater itself.
We are so happy you joined us,
and
we hope you're going to stick with us and play with us backstage.
Let's do it.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
We will be right back with The Little Mermaid. Stick around.
Mystery creates wonder.
Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. And we were just talking to Patrick Terry. The Wonder Show happened at the Vortex this weekend. We got the good fortune to talk to one of the cast members from The Little Mermaid.
He was a pistol.
Yesterday. And he
Aaron
was a pistol.
Aaron was awesome.
Yes.
Aaron Ronell?
Ronell, yeah. Yes. Aaron Ronell. And he is in the ensemble, and he plays an understudy to Sebastian, who sings Under the Sea.
Yes.
So we're just going to run and play that interview right now.
Go, hop right to
here
it.
Here we go. We are sitting here in Studio 2 of the wonderful Co-op Studios in Austin, Texas. And we are fortunate enough to have sitting right here in person in real life, Mr. Aaron Rennell. He is in the cast of the Broadway Across America's touring production of The Little Mermaid, playing right this very night mm-hmm. at Bass Concert Hall. Aaron, welcome to Offstage and on the Air.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to ask you to pull that microphone closer to your lovely voice.
Pulling it closer to
my There you go. There you are. Now I hear you.
Can you hear me?
Welcome to Offstage and on the Air once again.
Thank you.
This is going to be full of edits. But you know what? I'm not going to edit it.
It's the magic.
All this is going out on the air,
this
dude.
This is gold.
So tell us about... So here's an interesting thing. I'm going to start this interview off with a true confession.
Oh, okay. I know where you're going with this.
Well, do it for me then.
No, you confess. It's your confession.
No, do it for me.
Are we all going to confess? Because I wasn't prepared.
Well, Lisa, you could come up with something. It's all right. Lisa admittedly was like, I don't like The Little Mermaid. I don't know The Little Mermaid. I can't stand The Little Mermaid.
No, wrong. Thank you for playing.
Say that. Okay.
I have never seen The Little Mermaid.
Well, I knew that.
In any incarnation.
Not the, even movie, the movie. Nothing.
Nothing. Not the book. Not the CD. Not the DVD. Not the movie. Look at the faces. I wish I had the video cam on right now. But I do enjoy the music.
Well,
so
now
I know
she
the
enjoys
music.
The music.
No, I've always enjoyed the music.
Oh, I thought it was because it randomly started coming up on the radio on your Broadway.
No, I like and I listen
and
to it.
Like,
and I love it.
Darn, I love that song. Yes. Where's that from?
But you've never
darn,
seen
it's
it.
The Little Mermaid.
I've never seen it. So
I'm clutching
so.
My pearls right now.
I know. I know
that. Well, so for someone like me, mm-hmm. Aaron, could you please tell us what this dang show is all about?
Well, this lovely show is about... it's
Thank
get
you
ready
for the correction.
It.
I'm ready.
Lovely show. It's about a mermaid.
That's the title.
That's the title. We're getting there. It's about a mermaid named Ariel, and she lives under the water, like mermaids do. But she has this longing and this desire to live above the water, and she wants to be human. She wants to live this other life, and she sees a guy. His name is Eric, and she's like, "I could get into that." And
I could take me some Eric.
I could take me some Eric. So she makes a deal with the sea witch. You have to know her name, though, right?
No,
the sea witch.
It's Ursula.
Ursula.
Okay, I do.
Okay,
now.
Well, we're learning. She makes a deal with the sea witch Ursula, and she gives up her voice, and she gets her legs. But
that's really hard for a musical.
Right.
Well, she always does this singing thing, which I have to tell you, in college, I worked at F.A.O. Schwartz. I opened the F.A.O. Schwartz store, and I worked in the doll section. And the Little Mermaid doll
was
out.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
And all on Michigan Ave. All you heard was her going,
in Chicago.
All day long. Yeah,
so this is great. Now, you are in the ensemble, and you are the understudy to Sebastian, who's the lead, correct?
Correct.
I knew that.
You did know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
Sebastian
that's,
has fun songs.
I love it when we have swings in the studio, and I love it when we have understudies in the studio.
Yes.
Mainly because they are unsung heroes in the theater business so often.
And we like to talk about this.
And how often do we hear the story, the All About Eve story, where the understudy goes on, and they're marvelous?
Yes.
So have you had the opportunity to go on as Sebastian?
I have not had the opportunity to go on in this production of Sebastian.
Would you like to borrow some poison or Ikipkak? I could,
you know,
I know
I,
people.
All I need is a bathroom key. Just, that's all I need. No one has to get harmed. That's it.
That's quite an undertaking, as I said earlier, because not only do you have to know your track as an ensemble, but you also have to know all the stuff that the lead role has.
Yes. To be ready to go on any moment.
How is that for you?
It's very nice for me. I have had the pleasure of playing the role a couple times this year. So it's been like, you know, if anything happens and he's like, I can't really go on tonight, cough, cough. Or that bathroom key, if you want to get on that. Then it's going to be great. You know, we've had rehearsals, and all of our understudies are really, really good. And everyone's been... We actually had one understudy go on, our flounder understudy.
Ah.
And he was unbelievable.
I like flounder. Baked.
With a little butter?
With a little... Well, everything's better with butter.
Butter and bacon.
So you guys have been on the road. How long have you been on the road with the show?
We've been on the road... We rehearsed in Houston for 3 weeks.
Texas?
Yes.
Or the other one?
Is there another one?
Were you at Tuts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wonderful.
We were at Tuts for 3 weeks.
Know all about it.
August. Mm-hmm. So.
So this is a relatively new tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a few weeks now. This is only city number 3.
Oh, awesome! So you're still so you still have time to go, and you'll probably. How long is the tour?
How long is the tour? We go to Minneapolis next week, and then that ends our first leg of the tour, and then we start back up in January and go until the end of June.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good.
It's a good. Now,
have you been? Yeah. You are from Milwaukee, as we discussed before, in Wisconsin.
Yes, Wisconsin.
Your cheesehead.
It's okay. You're from the state of J.J. Watt.
I will take that.
Yes.
I'm just from the state of Oprah. Let's.
Yeah,
we went to the same
state.
High school. I think that's.
Did more you really important. Go to the same high school?
True story.
As Oprah?
Is Oprah from Wisconsin?
Yes, she is. She wasn't born there, but she's from there.
Did
so
not know that.
I'm
going
to claim it.
I love
have you
it.
Been to Texas before?
Yes, I've been to Fort Worth, Texas.
And Cowtown.
Orange, Texas. Who knows where that is?
Yeah, that's random.
It's right next to Lemon. And a little south of Apple.
Yes.
Yeah.
How'd you end up in Orange, Texas and Fort Worth?
I did a show there, and it was just as rough as it sounds. Orange, Texas, there's nothing there.
What show?
The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Oh, we know the Grinch.
Yeah, I am the Grinch.
You're a mean one.
I am. Well, so have you been to Austin? Is this your first trip to Austin?
This is my first trip to Austin, yes.
Excellent. Have you had time to enjoy the city at all yet, or have you been mostly loading in and teching and all that stuff?
We actually just got here yesterday, and I went to Trader Joe's. So
yeah, that's great. That is a Texas tradition, Trader Joe's.
Yes. I'm excited to go to Whole Foods. I hear that's...
It's pretty incredible. Yeah, you need to go to the flagship store.
Flagship store.
So there you go, if you have a flagship. Well, we're happy to have you here. You also have to sample some barbecue and Mexican food. That's what we do. And you had your opportunity for breakfast tacos earlier today, and you turned that down. Well, that is exciting. Can you early on in this tour, are there any, can you regale us with any interesting stories of the tour thus far?
Interesting stories. Well, I mean, we did just do a week in Nolens.
Nolens.
Oh, what a great city.
What a great city. I had never been.
Oh, my God. Wonderful town.
Yeah,
it's
like
a very infectious vibe going on in there.
Mm-hmm. And I will say that one of our cast members, who shall remain nameless, I don't know if you're familiar with how Voodoo Priestess, her name is Marie Laveau.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you've seen American Horror Story.
Yes.
Angela Bassett.
I'm with you. I'm there.
Mm-hmm. We went to a store, and he kind of fiddled with that altar. Mm-hmm.
Not good.
In his defense, he thought those bees were for sale. So
I'm hoping no lighting instruments fell down or
all
anything.
I'm saying is 24 hours later, things hit the fan.
Really?
Wow. Mm-hmm. But he did make a necklace as an offering. He kept it, but he did make it.
You do not want to. You don't want to screw with those voodoo people.
You don't want to screw with Angela Bassett.
Awesome. What theater did you play in New Orleans? Nolens.
What was the name of that theater in Nolens?
The Singer.
The Singer. Yeah.
The Singer.
Singer used to be a Zev Buffman property and back on the circuit that I used to do back in the day.
Really?
Way back in the day. Before you were born.
It's been completely remodeled, and it's run by Ace out of San Antonio.
Lovely.
Oh.
It was beautiful.
Well, I'll have to go.
You'll have to.
So you're playing here a week, mm-hmm. and you are going to be very excited to be here, whether you like it or not.
Are you getting excited at me?
I am. Well, so I am looking forward to seeing you in mm-hmm. the show tonight. And
I'm
so
excited.
So tonight would be the night, Aaron, mm-hmm. to use that bathroom key.
To use that bathroom key.
Yes.
Because you're not coming back, is what you're saying.
No. So
we'll,
I could see
we'll
you
be
playing
there,
Sebastian.
So.
Yeah. What so do you have any again, I don't know the show, but mm-hmm. are there any standouts in your chorus track?
In my chorus track.
Yeah. Do you have like solos and stuff?
I have no solos.
Yeah. You're lucky. Well, I'm lucky actually, because I was going to ask you to sing your solo line and then Amy would have yelled at me. Amy of Hookah Marketing is here in the house. Say hello, Amy.
Hello.
Okay.
Yes. No, I have no. Oh, you know what? Oh my gosh. I am lying. I have two
Don't lie to me,
Aaron. Distinct solo pieces. One time I say fish pate.
Ooh.
And the other time I
don't want to say that around a mermaid.
You don't want to say that. And the other time I scream tuna melt with the courage of my convictions.
You're a mean chorus person.
Yeah, I do.
That is great. So you have actually been in this biz for a while, and you live in Manhattan. We discovered before we went on the air that we are sort of neighborhood neighbors. Mates, although at different times in the world.
Very
You're up
close,
in Washington
though.
Heights.
Yeah, it's very close.
Yeah.
Like three blocks.
How long have you been living in Washington Heights in New York City?
2 years?
2 years.
2 years, yes.
Yeah. That's so you know that very close to where you live, a mere 9 blocks, 167th Street at the Audubon Ballroom is where Malcolm X was assassinated. Did you know that?
The more you know.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
He's looking at
well,
you
I'm
like,
gonna.
I don't know if the Audubon Ballroom is still standing, but that is the where he was assassinated.
I feel like it's something else, but I feel like the building is still there.
I would think it would be a shame for that to be torn down.
It's history. That'd be ridiculous.
Honestly, in
Charlie
the city,
Chaplin's
I'm a
house
crab.
Is still up there, so why isn't?
You're a hermit crab. It all goes back
I'm
to the sea for you.
You know
it?
What? If this isn't destined to be, I don't leave my house.
Oh.
First of all, I'm on a fifth floor walk up. So I'm like, I'm going to have to do these steps
yes,
again.
But you know what that means? I had the best booty and the best thighs when I lived on that fifth floor walk up.
See, but is the bodega really worth it? Because it's like I'm walking down
the
stairs.
I had those inner turmoil conversations.
Yeah, it's like I'm eating cheese sticks. Like
grilled cheese.
See, but I'm deep frying mine.
There you go.
Go big or go home.
Aaron, so here's the deal. We have a lot of shows that come through town. We get Spring Awakening, just opened in Broadway 2 days ago or yesterday. We get some very adult-themed performances. We're really fortunate this season to have, I think, a couple of shows that are more geared towards the family. Would you say that this one would be geared more towards the family?
This one is definitely geared toward the family. There's something for everyone. The kids will love it. I'm hoping you'll love it. Well, you have to. You're singing along now.
I am.
And it's something for everyone, really. I enjoy it.
I think it's
my mom enjoys it.
I love this show. I saw it in New York. I do love this show.
Did you?
I went as an adult without any children. Didn't take my goddaughter. Like, I went by myself. I love this show. And I think it's perfect for in the entire family or adults alike. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. So
don't have to have a kid to go.
And I,
but a kid would be fun.
A kid would be fun.
A kid would be fun. And we actually are going to hopefully speak to some of these kids in the lobby before the show.
We are. We're going to
really?
Try to talk
As a matter
to
of fact, let's listen to a little right now.
I like it really good. And it's so good. Like, I want to be it now. I like how they sing and dance.
Can you sing some of the songs?
No.
No.
I don't want to, but I know them.
This is the best darn show ever.
What a dickens that kid was.
They say the darndest things.
They say
those
the
kids.
Darndest things. That was so good. What was your favorite part of that interview? I know. I
her
laughed
hair.
So hard at her as well. Well, you, yeah. Her hair was good, although, you know, we had to describe it. You couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But thanks again.
Ariel makes redheads cool.
She does.
She does.
All right. So tell folks, you opened last night, because this is Wednesday, and you are playing through. We're actually recording this on Tuesday. And when I said you opened last night, Aaron looked at me like, oh, my God, I missed a show.
It's like, have I been sleeping?
So you opened last night and you play through Sunday,
mm-hmm.
which is October 4th.
It is October 4th.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And we, as I said, we can't wait to see it. And as the little girl in the tape said, that was a heck of a show.
Good stuff.
And her hair.
Good stuff. That was Aaron Ronell. He is part of the cast of Disney's The Little Mermaid, which is on stage right now at the Bass Concert Hall. For more information, you may visit austin.broadway.com.
Go on and kiss the girl. Go on and kiss the girl. You gotta kiss the girl. Go on and kiss the girl.
The curtain has come down on the musical version of Doug Henning's The Magic Show. And other than the incident with the par can that fell on top of a couple of the actors. It went off flawlessly.
I shouldn't be laughing at injured actors, but I was.
And we are backstage here, and I'm thrilled, actually, because we love it when we have just one or two people, and we're fortunate enough to have just one person, Patrick Terry.
Hello, hello.
And this is, we get to learn a little bit about you.
Okay.
So have you, oh, shoot, thank you,
before
Nicole Shiro.
Because it's weird when we stop
sign.
In the middle.
Yes, we are going to, we need to answer the trivia
of course,
question.
Of course.
So remind folks what the trivia question was.
Okay, so FDR's been in a number of musicals. He promised us a new deal in Christmas, a new deal for Christmas and Annie. He was satirized in I'd Rather Be Right, was a puppet in Flaw Hooley, was voiced by Art Carney in Flora the Red Menace, and was nearly killed offstage in Assassins. Which musical included a touching eulogy of the wartime president? A, Inside USA, B, Miss Liberty, C, Call Me Mister, D, Yip Yip Yap Hank, or E, Tars and Spars?
I'm going to say...
some of these names are
I'm
hilarious.
I'm going to guess... What's the one before Yip Yip Yap Yank?
C, Call Me Mister.
I think that's the one.
Hmm. I was going to guess B, Miss Liberty.
Miss Liberty?
For some reason. I don't know why.
Well, okay.
I think maybe that's where I was thinking before,
not
but
sure.
I switched.
That's okay.
Well...
And what is the answer, Ms. Nicole Shiro?
Well... Dun, 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 wait, hold on, to the page.
The phone lines are ringing up here. Hold on. Let me just capture this phone call. Hey, caller, you're on the air. Hi, how are you? Okay, I can't do this. Go on.
I was like, how's someone listening when we're doing a podcast? That magic technology from mm-hmm. The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
C, the face on the dime in Call Me Mister, honored
you got
FDR.
It.
I won.
Bravo. Well done.
The song was The Face on the Dime.
The Face on the Dime. And I want to know about this show, Flip Flop Flippity Flu.
No. What was it?
I thought Yip, Eisenhower was
yip,
on
Yap
the dime.
Hank.
Yip Yip Yap Hank. I love that. Well, thank you.
What about Tars and Spars?
I love Tars and Spars.
I mean, some of these names I come up with are
so Patrick Terry. Do people ever tell you that you have a resemblance in both look and manner to Matthew Broderick?
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually to me it's uncanny.
You know what? Now that you say that, I see it, but I wasn't.
And because you've got he's got this voice that's just very calm and melodic. And you have that as well.
Thanks. Thank you.
So I hope you take that as a compliment.
Oh, definitely.
It was meant as one.
Yeah, for sure.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in South Georgia, a little town called Americus.
Americus?
You know what?
That town should be in Texas.
Yeah. It's probably next to Orange.
It's probably next to Orange. Americus, Georgia.
That's right.
Wow. What was that like? How little of a town?
Pretty great. I guess it was a big, small town. At this point, maybe 50,000.
A BST.
Yeah, if you will. It was great. You know, there was an enthusiastic community theater. And yes, like I said,
where in Georgia is that? What would be the largest city we would know
maybe
of?
Columbus, Georgia.
Okay.
Or about an hour from there, or essentially 2 hours.
Close to Florida.
Correct, yeah. Okay. 2 hours
so
south of Atlanta.
How far did you have to fly to go to the fly? How far did you have to drive to get to the airport?
About 2 hours to Atlanta.
To Atlanta.
Yeah.
Wow. Ish.
Wow. Mm-hmm. ATL, as we say in the business.
Indeed.
So, okay, we spent a lot of time earlier in the show talking about the Wonder Show, which is at the Vortex, and we can command people to go there now, so you must go.
We can tell them whatever you want to tell
them. We don't have the same rules that we had before.
Fair play.
By the way, how much are tickets?
They range from $10 to $30.
Great, because we can say that now, too.
Sure.
It's
$10 to $30.
It's just crazy. Wow, they're crazy.
It's like, hold me back. But we talked a lot about your magic. But I also know that you're a film producer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have, I think you're also in theater as well, correct?
That's right.
So.
We did TV producer, too, because we were shipping wars.
Didn't I? Oh, film producer and TV producer.
Yeah.
So what brought you into where how did all this come about in your life?
Sure. Well,
and in what order?
Yeah. Well, I can
and there are no wrong answers.
Okay. Cool.
Well, and I won't interrupt.
But she'll tell you when they're wrong.
This is awesome.
No, really, I won't interrupt you again.
Cool. I appreciate it.
He's gonna bust out into song.
I didn't even do it that time. Okay. Sorry.
Well, I consider myself an actor and producer. Okay. Those are my major loves, and magic has always supported that. And informed that. So, yes, I work in television, film, theater, but I think it's really just about the collaboration or the story, you know, wherever the medium is, you know.
Right.
But,
right.
But yeah, so I got into everything through acting. And then in 2002, I went to Tisch Drama at NYU. That's where I got to know Allie and other great people. And then I graduated in 2006 and decided to stay in New York. And I had kind of used those 4 years training. Actually, at the Atlantic Theater Company was where the 2005 production of Spring Awakening started. So I was a reader for that while they were casting that.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. Great.
So I got to do some magic for Michael Mayer and get to know a few of those guys, which was pretty sweet. And then
you're a cool person.
Hey, thanks.
You are.
You're pretty cool too.
He's a Liebenskanzler. He has all of his the life artists.
Oh, he's a Liebenskanzler.
Liebenskanzler.
I could be in Spring Awakening.
Liebenskanzler. I've just learned something.
No, we've talked about this.
No, I don't think so. Liebenskanzler. I think I remember that.
My friend from Germany told me I was that one day. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? And then I looked it up. It's a life artist.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. You may be a Liebenfranzka. I'm a Frau Blücher.
I like that.
So there you are in Americus, Georgia.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they've got they've got a huge theater community there.
Not huge.
He said there was a strong
enthusiastic.
There were some
women there that reminded me very much of you.
In terms of
the passion for the arts. And so I was really fortunate, in spite of being a small town, which obviously there are some stereotypes in terms of football or sports or whatever, maybe not fully focused on the arts. But in terms of my South Georgia experience, I was very lucky because there was an enthusiastic community theater called Sumter Players. Americus is in Sumter County. So I was really lucky to get involved with them because my high school did not have such an enthusiastic artistic program. Right. So I actually found that in the little town and was so grateful for it.
You guys didn't have a high school show for everybody once a year or a pageant or something?
Negative.
Or that's about it?
We did a one-act play festival, which I kind of, or not a festival, but just a competition, which
UIL kind of organized.
I was about to say it's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but so that was fun.
So what was your first notable role in the community theater?
Let me think. Well, my first role ever was a children's production of Treasure Island.
Oh, and what did you play?
Long John Silver.
I played the Long John Silver in Treasure Island.
We have a lot in common. A lot in common. But
I made them make me a peg leg, and then they wouldn't let me use it. I was there. You're going to get injured. I'm like, but this is so awesome.
Well, for me, I remember I was really into it, and it was my first thing. I was so excited. So I took my leg and kind of bent it around and put a rope, a belt around it. Yes. We're vibing well. But so that was pretty fun. And I guess you could say caught the bug. I do remember a story sometimes I tell was when I auditioned for that, I didn't know what an audition was really, but I went in and I knew what to do a little bit, but the next day I just went and auditioned again. I didn't know it was like a one-time thing. Oh. So I'm like, maybe I'll let him see some new stuff or
the guy
whatever.
Is there every day.
Yeah, I'm like, well, why not? You know, but maybe it worked. But
you know what? As a director, I'd be like, that's endearing. This guy's going to show up to rehearsals.
Well, that's true. I mean, I trained at the Atlantic Theater Company when I was in Tisch, and it's all about that kind of discipline and professional habits. You know, if class started at 8 a.m., you were expected to be there at 7:45.
Yes.
If you got there at 8 o'clock in 1 second, close the door, you miss, everything. So.
And this is one of the things that we've talked about, serious theater people, not only actors, but also the technicians and the designers. It teaches a discipline that you don't often get elsewhere.
I agree.
And most serious actually, as I say this, I used to be a stage manager on Broadway.
As you say this, you're thinking of
and I'm thinking
opposites.
Of all the people that were late. All the people that were late. So I'm sort of retracting my statement. But that was what was inbred in me.
Yeah, sure.
And a very strict sense of discipline. Mm-hmm. And you're always there before. If call is at 10 o'clock, you're there
at 9:45.
You
start
at 10.
I've instilled that in the young Shakespearean, just
good.
So you know.
Timing is everything.
I write them. I said, you're 8 o'clock rehearsal time. That's when you're starting. You're expected to be there 20 minutes early.
No doubt.
So what took you from Orange to New York? What was it just the interest in theater that just drove you straight to the Tisch School, or was there something in between?
I wanted to go to New York, and I was attracted to that. And I wanted to, I knew there were different programs in theater that were attractive, but I kind of wanted, boot camp for actors, and that's really what I got in Tisch. And it was great because the training is intense, and I was at the Atlantic Theater Company, which was founded by David Mamet and Bill Macy, these guys, and so that was exciting. Their technique kind of lined up with what my disciplines were already, my sensibilities were shaping up to be. And they took it seriously. It was very rigorous. But then my last year, NYU was offering a producing minor. And I was already collaborating with the film school and some of the writers and kind of this interdepartmental communication. I was really all about that because then I could cast my friends in their projects and I was a hub for information. I was connecting people and already producing. So when they offered the degree, I'm like, well, yeah, let's do that as well. And then really helped me transition from school into the working world.
Right. So now I read an article with you and they're talking about your film and I think is it a documentary?
Yes.
Yeah. What tell folks what that is.
It's called The Walk to Fisterra. And it's a documentary about my friend Dane, who is a famous cellist.
Cellist and walking this.
Yeah. Well, last summer.
Cellos are cool.
Nothing like it. Yes. Closest instrument to the human voice. Last summer, right before I moved to Austin, I was on a pilgrimage in Spain. And we spent 6 weeks walking the Camino de Santiago.
And he played.
I'm so jealous of you. That's one of my lifelong dreams.
And he played little miniature concerts as y'all walked through.
Major concerts.
And he carried major concerts. Yeah. So, like, define major concert.
Maybe 200, 300 people in epic cathedrals across the Spanish countryside.
And would y'all just show up at a cathedral and say, hey, I've got my cello. Can I play?
We organized it in advance. Yeah, we spent about 5 years actually almost developing this because we did 36 concerts in about 45 days. So he walked 10 or 20 miles a day and did a show that night.
Carrying his cello.
Carried the cello every step. Yeah, so it's a musical journey and this physical journey and ultimately a spiritual journey.
That's so freaking awesome.
That's cray.
It's raw. Yeah. I mean, again, it reduces.
No, that's cray. Cray is short for cray cray.
It's popping.
I think we had 3 crays, but it was definitely a life changing experience for me, and I'm really excited for the movie to.
And the movie has it. I assume you're doing the film festival circuit.
Yep, we're doing that this fall, and hopefully 2016. I hope so. Yeah,
awesome.
I
hope you do. Well, what's the name of it? Oh, you told me what the name of it is. Is there a website?
There's a website. Walktofisterra.com, or if you Google The Walk to Fisterra, we're the first ones, and we're on Facebook and all that. So
how does one spell Fisterra?
Fisterra.
Because this is the thing that's bad about the internet.
Yeah.
If you are spellingly challenged, mm-hmm. as I am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I still find stuff.
I do too.
Because a lot of other people are spellingly challenged.
Well, but you know
also.
What? It's the email addresses that get me in trouble. The Googling.
No, I agree with you.
Because there's no fixing of the email addresses.
No.
Unfortunately.
Well, so that's fascinating. So that is in the can.
Yes.
What are you working on now?
Oh,
or next, what's next?
Wonder Show is this weekend, as you know, and then I'm doing another series of Wonder Shows back in New York at the end of October. And I just finished a job with Participant Media, which is a pretty amazing production company, and they've got some great films coming out this fall. Spotlight, about the Boston Globe's investigation of the Catholic sex abuse scandal, and this movie called Beasts of No Nation on Netflix, first theatrical release.
I was like, yeah, why do I know that name?
Yeah, yeah. And anyway, they produced Lincoln and The Help, and actually Citizen Four. They won the Oscar last year for Best Documentary. I was on assignment for them, but really just focused on Wonder Show. And actually at this point in the year, it's a great time to be a magician because at the end of the year, Halloween, the holidays, corporate events. There's only so many weekends left, and people like to have magic at these events, so that's nice.
Who doesn't like to have magic?
Like,
you're right.
Like to have
you're
it?
Right about that.
I just love that. So do you do any – we're talking about magic. Yeah. Obviously, you're doing the tabletop and the mm-hmm. sleight of hand things. Yeah. Do you do any of the big – do you do illusions and stuff like that and more presentational stuff?
I think I'm more of a close-up magician when it comes to that because it's a little more direct connection. I was never into the illusions or any of
the
big
– Copperfield stage. For you.
Well, not on that kind of scale. I mean, I think he's a great magician, and I mean, that's a different challenge when you have to translate it to a big crowd like
Also,
that.
To me, it's less of a, it's more presentational and theatrics rather than a skill.
I get that.
In a lot of ways. Because, it's a design element and it's mm-hmm. presentation.
And you know, there's 30 people behind the stage, you know, assisting.
I had a friend, I'm not going to say how it was done, but I had a friend who was his assistant for years and actually dated him. And she
helped the Statue of Liberty disappear.
She didn't tell me how they did the Statue of Liberty, but she did tell me how they disappeared
the elephant?
The jet.
Mm. Oh, I remember Clear the jet too.
I know how to do it. And again, just like with
it
Hiram,
ruined it,
mm-hmm. well, you know what? I'm not a. Illusions are sort of fun, but that, I like your stuff
Thank
better.
You.
Yeah.
Or the in between stuff. Like Doug Henning sort of does in betweeny mm-hmm, stuff. And mm-hmm. I did see his show in Vegas, his old style show, which is still amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Really amazing stuff.
Yeah, it's fun to see magicians evolve with the times. And, you know, like someone from Doug Henning was really kind of. happy and colorful and bright.
Mm-hmm. But it used to be on the TV. We grew up with it on TV mm-hmm. all the time. Yeah. It wasn't like, random, guess what's on? It was a constant mm-hmm. weekly That's thing cool. going on That's with cool. multiple. So yeah. we're blessed in that sense.
Yeah, definitely.
You are blessing the younger generations with it.
Well, maybe so. You know, magic is, it lends itself to an interesting vocabulary. And also people who kind of study magic are kids. I teach a lot of after school programs, beginner magic, and it promotes good study habits. You're understanding something and
it's
yeah.
problem
skills,
solving
social
and thinking.
Skills.
So, yeah. Now, have you been to the magic club? Have you gotten to go
the
to
castle.
It?
Magic
yeah, the
castle.
Castle. The magic castle. Sorry.
Yeah, in L.A. In L.A.
Yes,
right?
in L.A. Yes.
There's one in Houston as well. Right? Oh, there used to be one in Houston.
I don't know if it's still there anymore, but the one in L.A. is.
That's a destination.
Yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Have you played the Magic Castle?
Hopefully later this year.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends there and some invitations out there. So my next trip to L.A., I really hope to do that.
Wonderful. You knew there was a reality show a few years ago where they taught
I remember
people magic.
That. Yeah,
do you remember
a few
that?
Friends were involved with that. Yeah, yes. I think okay. it was called Celebra Cadabra, unfortunately.
Celebra Cadabra, that's what it was called. I watch yes. it. I'm going to admit it.
Well, that's great. We're actually running out of time. Okay. I did want to talk to you. Is circle back to theater.
Yeah.
Were you a musical performer as well?
Not so much. I mean, I always respected musical theater and, again, that medium and that focus. I mean, that I always say music and magic have a ton in common.
Certainly an initial letter.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
the whole
Spring Awakening.
The whole words.
Can't be anti.
The words are very similar. Magic and music and
that's
the,
true.
And
same
the
amount of syllables.
Indeed. Yeah, but that feeling is the same, too. It's invisible, but, you know, you want to hit the right notes, and hopefully you can't get it out of your head.
Well, we're thrilled to have you backstage. We're thrilled to have you on stage. And we're thrilled to have, I will speak, I am a spokesperson for the city of Austin. We're thrilled to have you in Austin.
Appreciate that.
Yep. You've been a great guest.
Thank
you.
You
really have. It was fun today.
Do you have a website that's just like for you? You want to share that?
Yeah, we had talked about my solo show in there. That's called Magic Hour. And my website is ptmagichour.com.
ptmagichour.com. Well, great. Well, thank you for
you
joining
so
us
much.
Backstage.
Thank you so much. It's great meeting you.
Watch your step as you leave because okay. the elephants have, you know, just come through.
Copy that.
See ya.
We've got magic to do just for you.